Don't Move a Muscle, the podcast has started.
Hello, you're listening to Podtrificus Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. Your hosts for this podcast are me, Cassie.
And me, Joe.
We put up our first episode, which was the first chapter of Harry Potter. And the Philosopher's Stone. So we put up our first episode already, and we talked about kind of the aim of this podcast and our plans of it. But basically what we're doing is just reading through the Harry Potter series chapter by chapter. And now we are at chapter 2, The Vanishing Glass.
So we've gotten pretty far.
Yeah, we're deep into this now. There's no turning back. So we're going to start our discussion of the chapter with a quick summary, which I will do this time because Joe did it on the last episode. So this chapter opens with pretty significant time jump. The episode opens 10 years from where the last chapter left off. We see Harry in the Dursleys' house now, who are terrible foster parents to this poor kid. Foster parent, adoptive parent, I don't know what to refer to them as, but
I guess adopted.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. So they're just terrible parents to him. They treat him like garbage.
Yeah.
What?
Guardians. There we go.
Yeah. Guardians. Yep.
They're terrible guardians.
They are. So they treat this poor kid like garbage. It's Dudley's birthday and he's being a little jerk. There's another word I want to say there, but it's Dudley's birthday and they're going to the zoo and they have to bring Harry with them. And when they get to the zoo, the glass vanishes on the snake cage and the snake gets out and everybody cries. And that's pretty much what happens in this chapter. Including Harry. Harry cries too. So now we can jump into the chapter a little bit more in depth now that we know what's going on in there. So the first thing that I just took notice of is that when they're describing the baby pictures, when they're kind of setting up that time jump, it says that Dudley looks like a large pink beach ball wearing different colored bonnets. I thought that that was funny and just another example of the colorful use of similes in these books. Callback to baby dolphins.
Yes.
But yeah, we go 10 years into the future and now we're seeing Harry at 11 or almost 11. It's just a little bit before his birthday and he lives in the cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah, so we start off at Dudley's birthday and Harry gets to make him breakfast, which you can assume happens a lot, and yet Petunia needs to say, don't burn it. Like, I know you're going to burn it, but don't.
I don't know if that's necessarily based on, like, prior experience. Like, oh, Harry always burns the bacon.
No, it just seems like just another way to put him down.
Oh, yeah, they're just being mean to him, like always. Yeah. Yeah, I liked the quote particularly about the Harry's sleeping arrangements. It says, Harry was used to spiders because the cupboard under the stairs was full of them, and that was where he slept.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought that was funny. Yeah, Harry makes the breakfast and Dudley has a little fit.
Yeah, not enough presents.
Not enough presents. There's like 31.
Only 36.
Only 36.
Yeah, only 36. Which turns out to be 37 thanks to Aunt Marge, but still not enough. That's a whole one less than the year prior.
Yeah. I wonder, I didn't do the math, but like how many presents did Dudley like start out getting that now it's up to 30, whatever is his like requirement for like a good birthday haul?
Well, I mean, at some point he couldn't count.
That's true. And we have to consider like his memory.
Yeah. And you also can't say exactly how much it goes up each year.
That's true. That's a good point anyway. Okay. So that saves me from doing math. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so during the present scene when Dudley's throwing his fit, Mr. Dursley chuckles and says, little Tyke wants his money's worth, just like his father. Attaboy, Dudley, and ruffles his hair.
Clap back to episode one, little Tyke.
Yeah.
We spent some time discussing that phrase.
So as a baby, that was not as bad as
I think it's
is
bad.
Now.
It's bad the whole time.
Well, I mean, seeing it again 10 years later.
It says that this is like a repeated thing that they're doing. Like, this is how they're raising this kid to just like excuse his actions and be like, oh, boys will be boys.
Yeah. So now it's no longer like, oh, it's a baby. You can say that it's still just like a cute little thing that's fussing around and throwing a tantrum. Now, Dudley is way too old to be throwing a tantrum. and little Tyke is. Yeah, at 10, at 11 now.
I feel like kids at that age throw tantrums.
Yeah, but for this?
Yeah, I mean, yes, he is being unreasonable. I'm not saying
that's
not
how decent parents should react to
that. Absolutely not. They should be tantrum. Like, okay, so I guess we're not going to the zoo then.
Yeah.
And they should take away, like, 30 of the 36 presents. I do like that we get some descriptions of Harry now that he's a little bit older. You know, he's got his knobbly knees and his messy hair. And I did note that they mentioned that Harry's glasses are taped together because Dudley punches him in the nose so often. Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me of the discussion that we had about Dumbledore.
Yes, and his two broken noses.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that could be maybe a cool parallel between Harry and Dumbledore. I don't know to what extent there are really parallels in these books between Harry and Dumbledore, but
yeah, I mean, as far as we know, it hasn't been broken, but his glasses definitely have been.
Yeah. Yeah, several times over.
Yeah, so it says Harry is small and skinny for his age, but he's stuck with Dudley's hand-me-downs, which are way too big for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dudley is giant.
Yeah,
and it's also sad because they're the same age, so he's getting what Dudley wore when he was like
much
nine
younger
versus,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the movies I feel like they try to portray that to an extent, at least in the first one when the Harry's wearing that like giant gray t-shirt. I just have like a memory of that, but I'm also like, this is the 90s and that was kind of the fashion then. Like,
okay.
Baggy t-shirt. I don't know, I don't remember the 90s too well because I was a baby then, but
yeah, I was four when it ended, so.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, it's so sad to just think of like this scrawny kid that lives in a hole basically and just wears these like hideous clothes and gets mocked by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just really like they Rowling really sets up how just like depressing Harry's life is.
Yeah, and even the way they end the chapter is just oh, well, Harry doesn't have any friends because Dudley's gang hates him, and nobody wants to cross Dudley's gang.
It's so sad. I feel so bad for poor Harry. Poor Harry asks where he got his scar, speaking more about, you know, the physical descriptions here. And Aunt Petunia says in the car crash, which they've kind of made up this car crash that killed Harry's parents so that they don't have to tell him the truth. So she tells Harry that he got the scar in a car crash and then adds, and don't ask questions. And that becomes kind of a thing that's discussed, that the Dursleys have this rule of like no questions in their house. But just that line reminded me of Great Expectations, the book by Charles Dickens. Okay, Joe's shaking his head.
Never read it. No.
Okay. Great Expectations is a book by Charles Dickens, and the main character, Pip, is also an orphan, and he's being raised by his older sister, Mrs. Jo. It picks up, he's probably around the same age as Harry is in this chapter. Pip is just asking questions. It's not really relevant what he's asking questions about, but his sister, Mrs. Jo, that's her name, Mrs. Jo, his sister, Mrs. Jo, says, ask no questions and you'll be told no lies, which is where that phrase comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it reminded me of that, you know, the whole orphan thing, and then don't ask questions, you know, ask no questions.
Except they're still telling him lies.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're just
not
taking
that
think
far.
Of more.
Yeah. And plus they don't want to suggest that the car crash is a lie. Like, if Petunia said, you got in a car crash, also don't ask questions because if you don't, I won't have to lie to you.
Yeah.
That's a little suspect.
We get to meet Mrs. Fig next. Well, we don't get to meet Mrs. Fig.
Yeah, Mrs. Fig is mentioned because the Dursleys are going on their little trip to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do something fun, they abandon Harry at Mrs. Fig's house.
Well, apparently only once a year on Dudley's birthday that they abandon him there.
Okay.
Because he was saying he was looking forward to not having to see Mrs. Fig for a whole year.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah.
Petunia gets a very solemn call saying Mrs. Fig broke her leg, so Harry can't come over.
That was weird to me when I first read it, but now I'm realizing, like, oh, she must have broken her leg, like, just then. Because at first I was like, okay, her leg is broken. Like, why does that stop Harry from coming to her house? But I guess she must have, like, broke her leg, like, that morning.
Yeah, she's like, if hey, she's I'm still in the hospital, she definitely can't. But also, like, if you're going to have a 10-year-old child at your house, you're going to want to be able to move a little bit. like in case something goes wrong. Like, that's not something the Dursleys would care about.
It sounds like she just makes Harry sit there and look at pictures of her cats.
Yeah, like, but like, as a responsible adult, she would want to be able to take care of Harry.
Yeah.
Like if she said, oh, if something happens to him, I'd like to be able to take him to the hospital or whatever.
The Dursleys would just be like, you can leave him.
Who cares? But she would reject that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We'll learn more about Mrs. Figg later on. Mrs. Figg does come back. But yeah, so, oh no, Harry can't stay at Mrs. Figg, so we're going to have to take him to the zoo. And Vernon and Petunia, like, have this conversation in front of Harry. Like, we don't want to bring him to the zoo. Like, what are we going to do? And I really liked the quote there, too. The Dursleys often spoke about Harry like this, as though he wasn't there. Or rather, as though he was something very nasty that couldn't understand them, like a slug.
Yeah, I actually read that J.K. Rowling viewed slugs as, like, the lowest thing, like,
really?
The grossest, worst thing.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we'll definitely see slugs again in the future. I just thought that was another, like, very specific, like,
yeah.
A slug, like, something disgusting and horrible, like a slug.
Yeah.
Loved that.
And so Harry suggests, oh, well, I can stay here. You don't have to bring me to the zoo. I can just stay here. And they can't even consider that
yeah.
He's going to destroy the house.
Yeah.
If he's left alone.
Of course, because he's Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's just like, oh, play on Dudley's computer. That's his, like,
I'll finally
exciting...
get to watch TV that I want to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Which is so sweet and sad. And so the Dursleys shoot that down, and then Vernon, or Petunia, I think, says, like, oh, we'll just leave him in the car.
Yeah, we can take him to the zoo and leave him in the car.
Like, in the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Summer heat, and in a busy parking lot, too,
yeah.
Just...
at the zoo too, so like that's even worse, because like it's not like it's the supermarket, because like my mom used to leave me in the car when she would like run into the supermarket for something quick, but like the zoo, like people don't go there to just make like a quick pit stop.
No, not at all. But that's shot down because the car is new
and Harry will destroy it.
Yeah I'm not gonna let him sit in that. It's new.
They're so horrible. It's so sad. So ultimately they decide, like, well, I guess we're just going to have to do it. We're just going to have to take this kid to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line, too, where Harry says, like, he's excited because he's going to get to see something other than, like, the Dursley's house and Mrs. Figg's house. And just, or school, like, he's going to get to go somewhere else.
Yeah, more specifically, he says he's excited because he's going to be able to see something other than the school, the cupboard, and Mrs. Figg's house.
That's horrible. Like, the
yeah.
limited life experiences of this kid. And, like, sure, like, going to the zoo is exciting for any kid, but for him to be like, oh my gosh, I get to go...
outside.
Yeah, like, a real place. It's so sad. So Dudley's buddy, Piers Polkiss, shows up.
Oh, but before that, so when they're talking about Harry having to come with them, and Dudley starts fake crying. So he's done with his present tantrum. He's on to...
A new tantrum,
but specifically bawling and fake bawling just to
and
get his
way. And
saying,
like, he's going to ruin everything. Like, I don't want him there.
But I really loved Petunia's name for him once he starts crying. She says, Dinky Duddy Dums.
Which is just like two syllables too long to be a real thing.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I don't know, though. Parents, I don't know. My mom calls me Cassie Moassi, so that's... or not really anymore, because I'm an adult now. But that was... she used to call me that when I was a kid.
Okay. I don't have any nicknames.
Because you don't have like a fun name. It's just Joe. There's Joe.
Well, excuse me.
No, it's fine. It's just like you already have like predetermined nicknames. I guess I do too, but it's like the cutest name you can get from yours is Joey, and that's not really like you don't like that.
No, that's not a great nickname.
Yeah, we used to call my cousin Jofi.
Jofi.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Joff, and I call because I hadn't seen him in like 4 years, and I saw him I'm like, hey Joff, and he's like a teenager now, and everybody's like, he doesn't... just call him Joe. Like, that's not that's not a thing anymore.
My aunt calls me Giuseppe a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So Dinkle Diddy Kins, whatever that is, and Giuseppe.
Dinky Diddy Dums.
Dinky Diddy Dums. It sounds like a candy.
Yeah.
It should be a candy.
I would eat Dinky Diddy Dums. Oh, I'm sorry. Dinky Duddy Dums.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Piers Polkus shows up. I feel like that's a great just like they say that he's scrawny like a rat.
Yeah, they say he's rat faced.
Like you have to make like a nasty face when you say that. Piers Polkus.
Yeah. Just scrunch it up just to pronounce it.
Yeah. So Piers Polkus shows up, who's Dudley's partner in crime, apparently, to go to the zoo. And they all go to the zoo together. And it's a great day. And they all go home. And what a nice time they had.
Yeah. Nothing else happens.
That's a chapter. Bye, everybody. No. So they go to the zoo. As they're walking in, the Dursleys buy Dudley and Piers big ice cream cones. And the lady serving the ice cream asks Harry what he wants before the Dursleys like are able to rush out of there, so they just buy him like a cheap lemon ice pop, like the grossest thing you could possibly purchase.
I mean, lemon ice isn't that bad, but I'm sure it was the worst like thing on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry just like happily eats it. He's like, they, you know, the narrator isn't, it's not first person narration, but it is like from Harry's perspective. So it says like, so they bought him a cheap lemon ice pop, and Harry eats it and it's not so bad. This kid is just having like the time of his life eating this lemon ice pop. I'm picturing one of those like Minute Maid ice pops.
Yeah, you like squeeze it from the bottom.
That's what I'm imagining Harry has eaten, and he's just like psyched about it. I think that's adorable.
Oh, but on the drive to
the zoo,
on the drive to the zoo, Mr. Dursley starts talking about
how
much he hates motorcyclists. Yeah. And
which isn't that, I drive and talk about how much I hate motorcyclists too, but go on.
But so Harry just throws in like, oh yeah, I had a dream of a flying motorcycle. Like, just simple polite conversation. This is my dream. Sure, dreams aren't usually interesting, but this sends Vernon off the hinges.
Yeah.
Motorcycles do not fly in his face and nearly rear ends a car.
I think that's so sweet too, because like, I imagine Harry is very guarded at this point in his life because, you know, everything that he says and does, he gets him either a proverbial or actual slap on the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just imagining him like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the zoo, like excited. And he's just sitting in the car. And like Vernon says this thing, he's just, oh, I had a dream about a motorcycle once. Just like that filter completely drops because he's just so happy to be going to the zoo. Yeah, so Vernon flips and just yells at him that, you know, weird things don't ever happen. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me forget that you're in the car with us.
And like they go into how he's not even allowed to talk about weird stuff happening in cartoons.
Yeah.
Just nothing weird allowed at number 4 Privet Drive.
Absolutely not. They don't hold with that nonsense.
Yes.
Back to the ice pop, though. Not long after that, Rowling mentions that Harry gets to eat Dudley's Knickerbocker Glory, which I had to look up. It says that it's like an ice cream thing and Dudley doesn't want it because there's not enough ice cream and Harry gets the leftovers, but it's just like a sundae. I tried to look up like why it's called that too, and there was no good reason.
No explanation.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is confusing, thinking that it's just a sundae because it didn't have enough ice cream on top.
Yeah, there's like fruit mixed in, I think. What I could tell, this
I'm
was
assuming
not an extensive
Dudley
Google
like
search.
Ate the ice cream off the top first and then said there wasn't enough. So
maybe,
Harry was happy to have a nice bowl of fruit then.
Yeah, it was basically just like a sundae, like any old sundae. It didn't seem that special. So then they mosey on through the zoo and end up in the snake pit, the snake area.
The
reptile house. There we go. I knew there was a word for it. It didn't occur to me. They end up at the reptile house, and what happens there?
Well, Dudley's the typical obnoxious kid, and his father entertains him, but also helps in the act of slamming on the glass of a sleeping animal.
They really are the worst people alive.
Yeah. So Dudley is quickly bored and walks away,
mm-hmm.
and Harry walks up to the glass. The snake gets up and winks at him.
The snake gets up.
Yeah. It like picks up its head and winks at him.
Mm-hmm.
And
gets
Harry
out of bed and puts his slippers on.
Yeah. So Harry looks both ways before winking back.
Yeah. Which I thought was cute.
I can't look too insane as I talk to the snake.
The thing is, though, that the way that it's presented in the chapter, it doesn't really feel quite like he's talking to the snake. Like, it says, like, oh, the snake made a motion as if to say this.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah,
it's
kind
just
of
him
weird.
Interpreting,
yeah,
everything,
like body language, until like the last thing that the snake says.
Yeah, the only thing that the snake officially says is, Brazil, here I come. Thanks, amigo.
Do you think he made it to Brazil, the snake?
No, unfortunately, I don't think he made it out of the zoo. If it could wrap around a car twice, I'm going to say somebody found it.
You don't think that it swam across the ocean to Brazil?
I mean, it definitely could have gotten there by land, but it would have
to
taken
Brazil
quite a long
from
time.
England?
Oh, I'm thinking from America. No, you're right. No,
yeah. Plus, it would have to cross the Panama Canal if it was coming from America.
I'm sure there's a bridge over it.
Yeah, the snake says,
but
thanks,
if that's
amigo.
Its only obstacle,
the Panama Canal. Yeah.
There are, yeah, other rivers in its way.
Maybe my geography is not great.
Yeah, well, mine is terrible because I thought it was in a different country.
Yeah. That's just your America-centric thinking.
Yeah,
you disgusting American.
Yeah, so I don't think it made it to Brazil. I'm sure it tried, but its lack of geographic skill, it could have, you know, found a nice little woods and,
yeah, and just hung
was
out
happy
there.
About thinking it was in Brazil.
Yeah. The snake says, thanks, amigo, and slithers away.
So why did it say amigo? Like, did this bred in captivity snake learn Spanish?
Well, they speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Okay, so it shouldn't have said amigo.
It is amigo in Portuguese and Spanish. Portuguese is very similar to Spanish. It's a romance language, so, you know, like Italian, French, Spanish, they all very similar words. So amigo is friend in Portuguese.
Okay.
So that's right.
So did this snake learn Portuguese?
Well, it's
in,
from Brazil. Yeah.
It's not from Brazil. It was bred in captivity.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is
weird. It was bred in the zoo.
Okay, that
is
a little
weird. It shouldn't
have
learned Portuguese.
I guess it's a touch, though. So I took an introductory linguistics course last semester, so I definitely know everything there is to know about language. There is a thing called code switching, which is when, like, if you are, say, like, if you live in America, but your family speaks Spanish and everything, and so you are bilingual like that. When you switch between the two languages, like in the middle of the sentence, it's more significant than just dropping a word in there, which is borrowing. But it's a notable cultural thing that they do at certain times, and it usually indicates something significant happening. And so the snake saying, like, thanks, amigo, is, I guess, figuratively, it returning to its home, you know, thanks, amigo. It's returning to its home language, its home culture.
Okay. It's just where did it learn?
It's
it?
Still weird. Yes. I'm just trying to think of the English
but also,
teacher
like,
reasons.
If Harry is talking to the snake, could Harry know Portuguese at all to allow it to understand?
Well, I mean, amigo is one of the, like, if somebody said to, if you didn't know Spanish, like, if you didn't take Spanish in high school, but somebody said, like, hey, thanks, amigo, you would, it's just one of those words that, like,
yeah,
culturally
I would know.
We know.
The
yeah.
snake shouldn't.
It's a talking snake, and this is your problem with it, that it also knows, well, a word in Portuguese?
Just, yeah, it didn't, whatever.
I understand where you're coming from, but just, like, this is one of those little details that I'm like, I can think of a crazy person reason for it, which I already did, or we could just kind of let it slide.
I'm gonna let it slide, but
okay, yeah, let it slither.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
The Dursleys are pissed because Dudley and Piers fall into the snake pit. Right?
They actually don't fall into
no?
it.
No, okay, that's just the movie? Okay.
Yeah, it just disappears as they're leaning against it. They okay. scream and the snake slithers by.
Okay, yeah, well, either way, like, the zoo director has to, like, apologize to them, and Petunia's freaking out, and Vernon, like, presumably beats the daylights out of Harry when they get home.
Yeah, he's so angry he can't make a full sentence. He says, go, cupboard, stay, no meals.
That upsets me so much when the Dursleys starve Harry. Like, they do so many horrible things that I don't know why this eats at me in particular. Well, that wasn't an intended pun. It eats at me in particular when they don't give him food. It just, I don't know, that's just, like, in a unique form of torture. It seems horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
Harry
says
that he, like,
that's not the worst thing they could do.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
It's to starve it's something. Terrible. Yeah.
Harry says that he like sneaks into the kitchen, and I'm assuming they kind of know that that's going on. Because like food will disappear. Just I figure they know that's going on, but it's more about just like the punishment of it and making him sneak out to eat, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. They do lock the
they punish him and make him go to the cupboard.
Yeah, they send him to the cupboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they send him to the cupboard, and poor Harry sits in there wishing that some mysterious relative will come and take him away.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad.
Or just a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. And they mention how like people on the street seem to recognize him, which is a little bit of foreshadowing in a way, but also like backshadowing.
You're an English major. You can think of a better.
I can't term. Really.
Well, in the first chapter, you see all these strange people celebrating. Yes. And Dumbledore does say like, oh, he's going to be easily recognized by this community. So, yeah, these strange people do recognize him and
like bow
go
to
out of their way
and hug
to
him and
show their respect and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like, how aware the wizarding world is of what's going on with Harry, because none of them say anything, or at least it's not mentioned that any of them say anything weird. It's just Harry's like, yeah, they it's just weird, like they seem to be really excited to see me for some reason. So like, I don't know, I just think about that, how the wizarding world sees it. Do they ask themselves like, okay, where is Harry Potter, like where has he been for the last 10 years? Do they know that he's with the Muggles? Or
at the very least, when these people are seeing him, he is with Muggles, so they're not going to bring anything up.
Okay, so that like they just see Petunia and they're like, okay, like better be cautious. Like,
and also they're like
rules.
In public.
Yeah.
And everything.
Okay. True.
They were like getting out of hand the day.
Yeah.
That you know who was killed.
Yeah. And then the chapter finishes up with this sad quote. And it says, everybody knew that Dudley's gang hated that odd Harry Potter in his baggy old clothes and broken glasses, and nobody liked to disagree with Dudley's gang. It's such a sad...
Yeah, it just ends on that.
It's horrible. Like, if I was reading this chapter, like, aloud to, like, a child, I would be like, all right, we need to, like, read forward a little bit, because this is just, it's too sad. Like, I can't let
you go
to sleep
like this.
Yeah,
this isn't even,
like,
a cliffhanger. It's just, I need to keep reading, because we can't stop here.
And so that brings us to the end of the chapter. And just speaking about the chapter overall, it reminded me of just how lonely it can be to be a kid sometimes. Like, whenever my mom would punish me or something, I would have those, like, moments where I'm, like, crying and being like, oh, I wish I had, like, different parents, and, like, I wish my life was different, and I wish, like, that I wasn't so sad. And just, I don't know, it was really, it's just a sad chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to sum up a full 10 years of, like, terrible parenting.
This does a pretty good job of giving us a picture.
It gives us a good snapshot of, like, this happens once a year, and this was like a good day for him.
Yeah, like he was so excited, and he just came home. And like, not to say that the punishment, it's like, oh, the punishment was so awful and so unexpected that he went to his cupboard and cried his eyes out. It was just like, yeah, this is kind of life. Like,
it happens.
You know? Yeah.
I spent a lot of my time in here.
Yeah, and like, I guess it's even sadder because his like hopes and expectations for the day got so built up, and he was having such a great day, and then this thing happened that wasn't his fault, and like nobody was hurt or anything, but just like his reaction to it is just like, I wish things were different.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. Poor Harry.
Poor Harry. Yeah, so I wish we could end on a brighter note. But,
there's no way unless we go to the third chapter, which I haven't read yet. So
yeah, you haven't read it ever.
No, ever in my life. This is my first time. And yeah, there's no good way for me to segue, so I'm just going to say segue and move on. So that kind of finishes our chapter discussion. So you can send us emails. We like receiving emails, not that we have yet, because we're recording this before the first episode went up. We want to receive emails from you guys, so you can send us an email to owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. That's owl, as in hoot hoot fly around, owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. You can send us any kind of like corrections, things we got wrong, expanding on what a Knickerbocker glory is if you're British and you're familiar with that kind of thing. Questions, and maybe some of your experiences and memories with the chapter.
Aren't Knickerbockers like pants?
Like underwear or something? Knickers are underwear. I don't know. help us, please, by sending an email to host@pontrificustotalis.com.
Plus, I'm sure we got other things wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We do also have a form on the website now to send an email. I set that up. It's just like you fill in your name and your email address and write us a little message and it'll send the email for you if for some reason that's easier for you. So we have a website, podtrificustotalis.com, where you can find the episodes and notes about the episodes. I typed up a transcript for our first episode.
That must have taken a while.
It did take a really long time. So I typed up a transcript. I don't know if that's going to happen for every episode, but we'll try to do it for some of the episodes.
That seems like a you problem. So
it is a me problem, just like everything that happens after we hit the stop recording button.
Yeah, I'm just the voice.
Yeah, you're the looks,
which is a shame because this is a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we never said that you were like that, your looks would attract somebody to it. So
ouch.
Yeah. So send us an email. We do also have social media, so you can tweet at us at Podtrificus. You can go on Facebook and find us by searching Podtrificus Totalis. We have a Tumblr and also the website where there's links to all that crap. So podtrificustotalis.com, that's our website, that's where we can find us. Please subscribe to us because we're now on podcast stuff, so subscribe to us on our podcast stuff and keep listening on.
And you can join us next time for chapter 3, The Letters from No One.